We continue the shiur in Likutei Halachos, Evan Ezer, Hilchos Gittin, Halacha Gimel, paragraph Tes Vov. We're in the middle of a discussion on the topic of Yibum, which we started in the previous shiur. Today is Chaf Sivan, 20 days in Sivan, which is a day which was declared by Tzadikim as the day chosen to memorialize the martyrs of Tach V'Tat, the Jews that were murdered in the pogroms, the major pogroms that took place across Eastern Europe during the years Tav Ches and Tav Tes. I believe in English it's 1648, 1649. And many tzaddikim, many righteous people were killed in those pogroms, including the famous Reb Shimshon Ostropolia, Reb Yechiel of Nemirov, other great tzaddikim. And in Breslov, from what I saw from Reb Michal Zichron Avrocha, the custom is that there was a special Kel Mole, a Kel Mole Rachmim, that was written in memorial of these martyrs that died in these massacres. That's about 5 pages. It's not a typical Kel Mole, is a paragraph. This is a long Kel Mole Rachmim that was written describing what took place, that's recited in the Breslov Shul in Shachris on this day, on Chaf Sivan. And also, some people have the custom to fast. Reb Michal Zichron Avrocha in his later years fasted a half a day, at least. But for us to be aware of this, and this is one of the extraordinary times that Rab Nosson Zal, at the end of Likutei Halachos, Choshen Mishpat, very much towards the end, he has a whole discussion about the coming of Moshiach. And then he opens the topic. He says that we know that this day, Chaf Sivan, was a day that many people had said that Moshiach was supposed to come on that day. And there were reasons why that they understood it was that day. And instead it got turned into one of the worst catastrophes in Jewish history. Why is that? And Rav Nosson Zal gives an awesome explanation there, speaking about the kavod of Hashem, the honor of Hashem, which can be revealed one of two ways, either through the glory of Klal Yisrael, an incredible, glorious moment of success for Klal Yisrael, like the coming of Moshiach, or if not, Chas V'Shalom, it's revealed the other way, in Jews dying for their religion, showing great honor and respect to Hashem in being willing to give up our lives and torture and everything because we're Jewish. And it's up to us. If we're worthy, if we're really worthy, it comes in glory and happiness. If we're not, the same glory has to be revealed. The glory of Hashem has to be revealed, only it's done in the other way. Hashem should help. We should be zeicha that this year's Chaf Sivan, we should be zeicha to tshuva shleima and to see things turned around, to see complete hamtoka sadinim, which we're learning about now, and to see the true Yeshua for Klal Yisrael. Rav Nosson Zal continues, Nimtza, based on what we're learning here, we see, She'ikr mitzvahs nisuin hu bechinas hamtokas hatzimtzum vadin al yidei ha-seichel. That on a spiritual level, what marriage is all about between husband and wife is the sweetening of the tzimtzum, the din, which is represented by the woman, al yidei ha-seichel, through the seichel, which is represented by the man. We mention Vayeda Odom Eschavo Ishtoi. And again, where does the man draw this seichel from? Al Yidei Shemekabel Mebechinas Kodesh Kodoshim. The man has to be able to go up and connect with the Holy of Holies, Shemishom Ikra Haiskashrus. And that's where the true bond is formed between the husband and wife. Kimishom ikar koyach hahamtoka kanal, because it's from up there, the seichel elyon, kodesh kodoshim, that's where this sweetening of din, this elimination of harsh judgments can happen. V'chol ze nase al yidei ribui hasforim digdusha. And Rabbeinu Zal explains in chapter 61 in Likutei Moran that how does all of this take place? How is it possible to go up to that high place, that Seichel Elyon, that Kodesh Kadoshim? It's only when the Torah is mushlam, when we bring a shlemus to the Torah, by recognizing the significance of all of its sforim, and by increasing the sforim of the Torah. One of the ways that we increase the Sforum is the Torah is by us starting to show the proper respect for every single Sefer, even the new Sforum that come out. Shehem Tikkun HaMachloikis. This process also represents the correction for Machloikis. Rabbeinu Zalveir quotes the pasuk, V'sefer Kosav Ish Rivi. Riv is Machloikis. The tikkun for the Machloikis is V'sefer Kosav, the writing of the Sforim. Shayidei Zeh Nistakein. And now Rabbeinu Zal says, Shayidei Zeh Nistakein Ho'etza. And through this whole process, we're able to establish clear advice, clear direction. Shenitzoilin me'etzois chalukois. We're saved from divided, from etzois, from a split in the etzah, where a person doesn't know what to do. It's a split decision when you can't decide which way to take. Me'atzas noshim, from the advice of women. Here we know that the Gemara makes a statement that sometimes, a person following the advice of women will be led way off the track. Shimshon HaGibor, other cases like that, the Gemara speaks about women consulting with each other in the bathroom. That's in those days especially, when there weren't bathrooms inside homes and inside buildings, there were outhouses, and sometimes these outhouses were not close to a residential area. And what happens is when women would go there, they would go there in pairs, and they would talk to each other in order for people to know that somebody's there, and in order also to make sure that the people would know there's at least two people there, nobody would chas v'shalom try to harm the woman in any way, that kind of thing. So the Gemara speaks about the discussions of women taking place in the bathroom. Atzas noshim is referred to as moisrois, you know, taking place over there. And in that manner, it's looked down upon. V'zoichin le'etza shlema. So we're saved from the wrong kind of etza, and we're zoichet to true etza. Kimavura batoyranal, as Rabbeinu Zal expounds on this over there in chapter 61. Now, Rav Nosson Zal adds an incredibly important statement: Ki Eitzo Shlema Hu Bechinas Hamtokas Hadinim. Because when a Jew is zoicha to achieve clear direction, to know what to do, or to be given clear advice regarding a problem, regarding something that's very important to them, they're given clear advice as to how to address it. That is hamtoka sadinim. That sweetens the mida sadin. That removes harsh decrees. Kimavur b'divra Rabbeinu Zal b'mokam acher, as is discussed in Rabbeinu Zal's teachings in Likutei Moran, chapter 143, al posuk uchua beroiv yoyetz. Rabbeinu Zal there quotes a posuk which uses the word teshua. Teshua means salvation. When is a salvation achieved? When is there a Yeshua? A Yeshua means elimination of sickness and death and pain and suffering and harsh decrees. That's the Yeshua. When is there a Yeshua? Beroiv Yoyetz. When a person is zoche to receive Eitza from the Rav, from the true tzaddik, who's the one who's qualified to give proper advice, real good advice. Ayin Shom, look over there in chapter 143. Where Rabbeinu Zal equates Eitza Toiva, receiving good, sound advice, to Hamtoka Sadinim, that eliminates harsh decrees, suffering, pain, tzoros. And Rav Nosson Zal is going to elaborate on this soon. Ayin Shom, look over there in chapter 143 in Likutei Moran. V'zeu b'chinas goydel hachiyuv lahashir bonim achrov. And this is tied into the major importance of a person being zeche to leave behind children after he leaves the world. Shekol ze hu bishvil tikun ho'etza. This, all of this is really about perfecting the etza, the advice, the guidance, the direction. And now he's going to explain. I don't think I've ever mentioned this before on tape, certainly, but this is probably my favorite topic. Whenever Rabbeinu Zal and Rav Nosson Zal touch on this issue, the word Eitza, Eitza Toiva, advice, clear, proper advice, because from what I've seen, and as we're going to see here, this is it. This is it. We know religion, Yiddishkeit, Torah, is referred to as advice. We're going to see Rav Nosson Zal quotes the Zohar HaKadosh now. He quotes the Pasuk in Mishlei, chapter 8, where the Torah says about itself, Li Eitza Visushia. To me belongs advice and assistance, salvation. The Torah is a book of guidance, advice. That's what it's really about. The Zohar HaKadosh calls the Taryag Mitzvahs 613 pieces of advice and guidance. And that's really the essence when we're learning, whatever we're learning in Torah, if we're learning Parshas HaShavua, if we're learning Dikduk, if we're learning Gemara, Shulchan Aruch, Kabbalah, what it's all really supposed to be, the tachlis of it is, what am I supposed to do? What to do? What not to do? What to say? What not to say? What to think? What not to think? Where to go? Where not to go? That's what all of this learning is really about. There was once a story of one of the leaders in Breslov after Rav Nosson Zal passed away. And we know that from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, from the time... The Jewish leadership, the true tzaddikim, were not always accepted and respected unanimously. We know Megillas Esther, which was one of the greatest stories in Jewish history of success, of victory of the Jewish people. And it was pretty clear to everybody that it was brought about by Mordechai HaTzadik and Esther HaMalka. And yet the Megillah concludes by saying that Mordechai HaTzadik was accepted by majority of his brothers. That's a clear statement, Verotzui Leroy Vechov, majority of his brothers, meaning that there were those that didn't agree, there were those that didn't feel he was right, he was totally right in everything he did, etc. So this leader had certain people who were very learned, the big Talmid Chachamim, who did not necessarily accept his authority and leadership. And once when this was being discussed, he mentioned, Zei Rufen Zich Lomdim. They call themselves very learned people. Aber mir kommt man fragen an Eitza. But when it comes to advice, they come to me for advice. In other words, they know that with all of their knowledge and all of their learning, they have not succeeded in translating their learning into Eitza Toiva. And that's what it's really, really all about. That's one of the most critical things in Yiddishkeit, being able to take all the learning, all the knowledge, whether it's knowledge from books, whether it's shimush chachamim, trying to be around tzaddikim, talmidei chachamim, and watch the way they live, watch the way they act, in order to know what to do, in order to have clear direction, eitza toiva, this thing. There's the famous story about Rabbeinu Zal, Rabbi Nachman, that he was once standing outside a shul speaking to somebody, and they were davening Maariv in the shul. And Baruch Hashem was one of those shuls which wasn't like a morgue. You could hear the people davening. There was sound. So he overheard one of the people reciting the last paragraph before Shmon Esrei in Maariv, Hashkivenu. Hashkivenu Hashem Elokeinu L'Shalom, Hashem allow us to go to sleep in peace. Vamideinu Malkeinu L'Chaim Tovim L'Shalom, allow us to get up to a good life and to peace. And then the words, V'sakneinu be'etza toiva milfonecho. And Hashem, please provide for us good advice from you. Give us the privilege of getting good, sound advice from you. And this person was saying that the same way he would say Mary had a little lamb, you know, without any emphasis, without any seriousness, passing through it like a person says Ashiyotz, like some people say Ashiyotzer. And Rabbeinu Zal commented to the person he was standing there. He said, did you hear that? Did you hear how he recited those words? He doesn't realize that that's one of the major events of the day. When a Jew says those words in tefillah, when we come to the tefillah of Maariv, when it's dark outside, and in the darkness, darkness means you can't see, there's no light. And a person is begging Hashem, Hashem, please provide for us good advice, Eitza Toiva, Milfonecha, from you. person's supposed to really take those words seriously and put your whole heart into that and put your whole neshama behind that. When you're saying those words, to really get into it, to say it with meaning and feeling, knowing that that's one of the most important requests of the day. In terms of asking Hashem the things you're asking Hashem for, you ask Hashem for $100 or $100,000. That could be positive, could be negative. You could do good things with that. You could do terrible things with that. $100,000 or a couple of $1,000,000 can set a person back in a big, big way. We've seen many people, after getting the couple of $1,000,000, getting divorced and kicked out of the house, or some of them end up in jail different places. So that's not always a solution to problems. Sometimes that is the problem. But if a person is zoche to get good, clear advice, direction from Hashem, what could be better? Hashem knows what's really, really best and proper for me, and what the real definition of hatzlacha and success is for each and every person. So this is one of maybe 20, 30 places in Likutei Halachos where Rav Nosson Zal elaborates on this topic. Ki klolius kol ha-toira nikra b'shem eitza. Because the entire Torah is referred to by the term eitza, advice. The word advice, as in most cases in English, doesn't really fully define the term eitza. It's more than just advice. It's advice, direction, solution to problems. Kemo shekosuv, as the pasuk says in Mishlei chapter 8, li eitza v'sushia. In me is advice and assistance. V'alkein ha-taryag mitzvahs nekroim b'zoyer ha-kodesh taryag itin doiraisa. And this is why the 613 commandments, mitzvahs, are referred to in the Zoyer ha-kodesh, Parshas Yisroi, page 82, as the 613 pieces of advice. Ki kol ha-briya kula shenivra b'shvil Yisroel b'shvil shi'ekaimu ha-toyra. Because the entire creation, which was created for the sake of the Jewish people, so that we should be able to succeed in fulfilling the Torah, hakol hoya b'shvil shenizkeh lahakir oisa yisborach. What it's really all about is us, the Jewish people, being able to achieve complete recognition of Hashem. Kama shekosu b'zoyer, as the Zoyer HaKadosh says, begin the Yishtemoidoin Lei, so that we should know and recognize and understand and realize fully the existence of Hashem. Kize ikara tachlis shel kol tachlisin. This is the ultimate goal of all goals. Ve'iefshir leida mimena yisporach kimayde ha-toira. And it's impossible to really know about Hashem and have recognition of Hashem other than through the Torah. Shehi b'chinas eitza, which is our guide. B'chinas taryag itin doiraisa. Ki kol ha-taryag mitzvahs ve'anfehem uprotehem v'chol ha-mitzvahs d'rabonon v'chol ha-digdukim v'amenhogem ha-kdoishim shel Yisrael b'klal u'b'prat. Because all the 613 mitzvahs and all the different branches and extensions and details of them, and all the laws of the rabbis, all the rabbinical laws, and all the details and holy customs of the Jews that apply on a general level and a detail level, hakol hu bechinas eitzois, lizkois, lodas, ulahakir oisois boroch. You want to know what it's really all about? It's really advice and guidance, how one could be zeicha to understand Hashem and recognize Hashem, be totally aware of Hashem all the time, shivisi Hashem v'negdi tamid, to feel oneself in the presence of Hashem always. Shezehu kol schar olam haba. This is also the description of what the ultimate reward in the future, in the world to come, is going to be. Kama shekosav, as the pasuk says in Yeshaya, chapter 11, Kitimole ha'oretz dea, the world will be filled with understanding, knowledge. What kind of knowledge? Lodas es Hashem, to know Hashem, to be fully aware and understand Hashem, each one on an incredible high level. V'chol hasfeikos, v'chol chalukos oetzo sheyesh l'chol echod, and all the doubts and the lack of clarity, the lack of being able to make a clear decision that each and every one of us experiences and lives with, ikar hasofek v'chaluk hasoetzo nimshach mebechinas shoyrish hasofek. When a person isn't sure, when his wife asks him, do you want eggs or do you want oatmeal in the morning? And he starts thinking and he's not sure, what's better for me today? Eggs is protein. Oatmeal is healthy, it's dagon, it's brain food. The Gemara says eggs is also, inch for inch, eggs is the healthiest food, despite what our turkey doctor friends tend to believe sometimes and promote. So which should I have, the eggs or the oatmeal? On the other hand, which one is harder for her to make? Which one has less chance of her burning it? Well, and there's thousands of questions going through his mind in those 3 or 4 seconds that he has to give the answer. Rav Nosson Zal says, every single doubt, and then there's the question whether to buy a lottery ticket in this store or should I go in that store? Is this store where I'm going to win the Powerball for $560 million, which somebody bought the ticket in some rickety suburb of Florida, you know? Or should I go down the block? Which one has more mazel? You know, all, and Lahavdil, more important questions. Should I learn Chumash now? Should I be learning Halacha? What should I do now? Should I do the Parsha of the week to prepare to have a Dvar Torah to say at the table for my wife or for my children on Shabbos? Or should I learn Halacha so I don't step on Hashem's toes? I don't do the exact opposite of what you're allowed to do. Which is it? So Rav Nosson Zal says, all the doubts and all the lack of clarity in decision-making that every single human being has, ikar hasofek v'chaluk hasoetzo nimshach mebechina shoyrish hasofek. It really, you can trace it back and up to the source of doubt. Shehu hasfekois v'chalukois oetzois sheyesh ba'avoides Hashem, which are the questions and the doubts and the uncertainties and the lack of clarity that I have regarding serving Hashem, about how I should go about achieving the greatest success in serving Hashem. Sheyesh shom gamkein kama v'kama sfeikois v'etzois chalukois. There are so many doubts and questions and split decision, not knowing which way to go, that every single religious person or person who wants to be religious, trying to be religious, experiences. Kigoin, for example, ho'ibayois v'asfeikois b'kamadinim shenemtsoim b'sha supoiskim. For example, the unresolved issues, the doubts, the questions that exist in so many different questions in Gemara and in Shulchan Aruch even. There are many items that are left unresolved. And a person wonders, what should I do? Should I go to Chumrah? Should I take the stricter opinion and play it safe? Or because it's unresolved, maybe it's a rabbinical thing, maybe I can take the easier way out. Shekol zeh hu bechinas chalukah soetza. These are all examples of not knowing which way to go, not having clear direction and guidance. She'ein yoidim eich lekayim ha-mitzvah, whereby we don't know how to really fulfill the mitzvah correctly. Shehu bechinas eitzu kanal. And we said before, every single mitzvah is a package of advice, of direction. V'chein hasfeikos v'chalukas v'etzah b'protius sheyesh l'chol echod. That's in the Torah, the questions, the unresolved issues in the Torah. Then there come the unresolved issues within each and every single individual person, b'protius. Sheyesh l'chol echod b'protius, which each and every individual person has, l'mi sheroitze lichnois b'avoides Hashem. Especially people who want to try to be religious, who want to try to get close to Hashem. She'al piroiv, where in majority of cases, yesh l'chol echod ve'echod kama ve'kama eitzois chalukois b'avoides Hashem. Each and every person like this has many questions, doubts, uncertainties related to serving Hashem. Should I move to Eretz Yisrael? Should I not? Should I move to Yerushalayim? Should I go to this yeshiva, that yeshiva, this shul, that shul, this rabbi, that rabbi, this butcher shop, that, all the different questions. Batchilo, nidmeloy, and now Rav Nosson Zal gives an important example. Very often, batchilo, when a person starts out in coming close to Hashem, it seems to him that this is the path that he needs to take. He needs to join this community. He needs to go to this shul. And this is the direction. This is where I think I see myself living as an observant Jew. And very often, a few months later, a few years later, sometimes it could be a few days later, Nidmeloy, it seems to him, shetzorech lisnaig bederech acher, that's not the direction I want to go in. He goes into what he thought was a shul, one of these temples, and the rabbi, Mrs. Bernstein, gets up and she starts lecturing about religion, and she talks about the drive that she just had from her house to the synagogue on Saturday morning, and what they're going to be serving for lunch in the synagogue on Yom Kippur. And the guy realizes, I think I might be in the wrong place. I think this is not my true spiritual connection to Hashem. And there are cases like this. There are cases of people who started their path, some of them in Reform, some in Conservative, some in Modern Orthodox, all kinds of different places, and at certain points came to a conclusion that this had its benefits. There was a reason why I had to be here. There was a reason why I had to start here. But at this point in time, it's time for a change in direction. Kayodua, Rav Nosson Zal says, as is known, Lemi shenichnas ktsas b'avodas Hashem, to people who try to become a little bit religious, like people who try to make a difference in their lives, a change in their lives, of connecting with Hashem, they know that this is what a person goes through. Now again, Rav Nosson Zal never walked into a Reform or Conservative or deconstructionist, or he never went into any of these places. But even he knew on his level, even he who was born to very ultra-Orthodox parents and very religious, he went through changes in his life, major changes, where up until a certain point in life, he was programmed, he was educated to be very anti-Hasidim, anti-Hasidus. And he was willing to speak and debate and argue against anybody who wanted to say something good about Hasidut. And then one winter, he writes, he had a chavrusa he sat with, and they learned the entire winter together. And this chavrusa came from a Hasidish background. And Rav Nosson Zal, who was a major Talmud Chacham at the time, we're talking about a person who had been through Shas several times already. This was in his late teens. He had married at 13, and he had already been chosen by his father-in-law, who was one of the Jewish leaders in Europe at the time, who was grooming him to take over his position. And yet this was his position, and they debated this, they argued this over a whole winter. And Rav Nosson Zal writes that at the end of the season, he started seeing light. He started seeing that his friend was right and he was wrong. Even though he had been told this by his father and father-in-law, who he had tremendous respect for. Rav Nosson Zal said about his father-in-law that until he met Rabbi Nachman, he couldn't figure out in what way Moshe Rabbeinu could have been greater than his father-in-law. His father-in-law was so great a Talmud Chacham, and so devoted to Hashem, and so particular about every single detail in Halacha, that he couldn't figure out the difference. But he said after he met Rabbeinu Zal, after he saw that there are different ways of observing Yiddishkeit, even the fulfilling the same halacha, studying the same Torah. He once gave an example, he compared it to a knish. Those that come from certain places, forsaken places in the world, like the United States and other places, they know that there's something called a knish. Here in Israel, you might compare it to a bereka, something like that. It's a food that's made from potatoes and pepper and salt and onions and other things. And people that eat this know that the only way to really eat a knish is when it's hot. It's got to be heated up. Eating a cold knish, even though it's got all the same ingredients, it's got the potatoes, it's got the pepper, it's got the salt, eating a cold knish is like chewing on dirt. You know, it's you're getting very little of the true benefits that were intended to come out of this thing when it was made, you know, etc. So Rav Nosson Zal compared different ways that people observe Yiddishkeit. There are two people who come to shul, both of them put on a talis, both of them put on tefillin, both of them say shachris. But one of them says it like a cold fish, like a frozen, like in a freezer. There's no heat, there's no warmth being generated. And the other one, there's a fire, there's a hislavus digdusha. Hashem says, haloi koi dvorai koeshnum Hashem. My words are like fire, that Yiddishkeit is something that brings warmth and heat and passion to a person's life. Ukamoy sheshomati mi piv hakodosh. Rav Nosson Zal says, and as I actually heard from Rabbeinu Zal spoke about this, that this is normal among people who are trying to become religious or trying to advance in life. It's very normal for people to change direction at different points. Unfortunately, we find there are many cases that people get married, and after marriage, one of the two, the husband or the wife, either she continues to study or he continues to study, or they start studying. They start studying religion and they start discovering things they didn't know about before, and they start changing. Their personality starts changing. Sometimes the way they dress starts changing, other changes. And the partner looks, what are you doing? What are you doing, man? You're changing the rules. I married you. I didn't marry this. I married that. What do you mean you married a corpse? You married something that can't, I'm not supposed, a human being is supposed to stand still? There's no such thing. The Torah defines angels, that an angel is an oimed. An angel is created a certain way, and that's who they are for the rest of their lives. Human beings, we give the example many times of a person on a heart machine. When a person's in the hospital and they attach a machine to the heart to see if the person's dead or alive, everybody knows, as long as the thing is going like this, up and down, the person is alive. The minute it's going in a straight line, we lost him. He's dead. Totally dead. Same thing is with living people. As long as a human being is experiencing highs and lows, they're moving, they're trying to advance. And in trying to advance in life, in almost anything, you're going to experience ups and downs. You're going to have successes and setbacks. That's how success works. Success, 99% of people don't get success the first shot in anything, not in business, anything else. You try something, it fails, then you try. That's not failure, that's part of success. That's part of growth. A baby, when they're first learning how to walk, they fall. So an idiot would see that and say, oh, this kid's never going to walk. You see, he fell. And a person who knows better says, no. That's exactly how you learn how to walk. That shows if he doesn't fall, if he doesn't get up, chas v'shom, then he might have a problem. As long as he falls and gets up, then you know he's on the right track. And as we discuss this in other places, umishom, and it's from these questions, it's from the lack of clarity in knowing how to serve Hashem, what direction to take in serving Hashem, mishom nishtal shilin eitzois chalukois ba'olam b'shar divrei chol. That spirals down into a physical world on a materialistic level and results in all the questions and doubts that a person has, uncertainties that apply to ordinary things outside of religion. How should I go home? Should I take the train or the bus? Or should I walk? Which are all of these questions that each and every one of us is faced with every second of the day. B'masa umatnu, whether it's in business, ukiyotze, or in all other areas of life. Now listen to these words. Ki be'emes, Rav Nosson Zal says, because the truth is, they coined a new term, reality check. You know, in this olam ha-sheker that we are living in, that has become so thick with sheker, so thick with falseness and fake and advertising, where the worst, most destructive things in the world are made to look like the most attractive things you could ever imagine. A cigarette, smoking a cigarette. It looks like the president of the United States or the king of Morocco is a bum compared to a guy who's on his horse, on this huge stallion, smoking the cigarette, the Winston or the Marlboro. That looks like the ultimate of mankind, the ultimate specimen of the human race, a person who's got that cigarette in his hand, or other junk, other nonsense. In this world of falseness, Olam HaSheker, where everything is upside down. So Rav Nosson Zal says, so they have this term now, reality check. You know, that let's hit the stop button on all the craziness and let's see if we can look at this situation for real, you know, in a real honest way. Rav Nosson Zal says now, Ki be'emes, ein shum etza, nikres b'shem etza, no advice in the world. There are books, again, you go into a store, there are thousands of books written on advice. Advice about how to live. Just about every book there is all about, you know, that this is going to show you. This is going to show you how to live. This is going to show you the ultimate life, a story about a family, the ultimate family, all kinds of things. Rav Nosson Zal says, no advice whatsoever is considered advice, qualifies to have that word associated with it. Kiim kishezoichin al yidei eitzo zois, Lehiskarev Yoiser Lashem Yisborach. Unless the advice brings you closer to Hashem, shows you how to improve your relationship with Hashem, it doesn't qualify for the word advice. That's not advice. That's not direction. Losur Meira, to turn away from evil, Velaso is Toiv, and to do good. That's called advice. When a person says, come here, let me tell you, I know. I can tell you, I've lived. Let me tell you what life is really all about. You need a university education. But each person, we know that Rav Nosson Zal writes in other places, people are so quick to offer advice. You know, everybody knows what to do and they know what to tell you what to do, etc., etc. But here Rav Nosson Zal gave us a definition. You want to know how Judaism defines advice? You want to know how Judaism defines direction? Direction, there's only one direction in this world that's considered direction. Everything else is either wrong or it's baloney, it's nonsense, it's shtuyot, it doesn't count. It's kindergarten. The only thing that really is considered direction is something that directs you as to how to improve your relationship with Hashem, how to be a better person, to be sur me'rav ha'asei toiv. That's called etzah, that's called direction. Ki ein chachma ve'ein tvuna ve'ein etza leneged Hashem. The pasuk says in Mishlei, chapter 1, there's no wisdom, there's no knowledge, there's no advice against Hashem. If it's against Hashem, or if it's not associated with Hashem, it ain't chachma, it ain't tvuna. Hainu, and now watch how Rav Nosson Zal qualifies this, refines this. Hainu shekol hadvorim shehem neged Hashem. This means that anything which goes against Hashem in any way, either directly against Hashem or she'enom lehiskarev lehisporach, it's not about coming closer to Hashem. Enom nikroim b'shem chachma. That is not called intellect. That is not intelligence. That is not knowledge. That is not chokhmah. The eitzah, and it is certainly not called advice. Klal, whatsoever. Ki be'emes, because the truth is, havel havolim kol hoylom. The whole world is baloney. The whole world is nonsense. V'ta'avoysov, and all the desires in the world, all the taivas of the world, all the materialistic, all the temptations of the world, all of that stuff, hakol chovel, it's all nothing. It's emptiness. Uma yisroin lodom b'chol amoloi. What benefit, what achievement, what accomplishment does a person have from all of his work? They just had a story in the newspapers a couple of days ago. They're writing here again, advice. There's a person, a Holocaust survivor, person who came out of the inferno, the Holocaust, which in some cases, imagine what it took to survive. Imagine, besides the divine assistance of Hashem, that it took to survive. Many people physically went through the most terrible struggles imaginable, physically, mentally, in order to survive. You get a guy who survived the Holocaust, came to a certain country, I don't remember which country it is, started from nothing, built up a life and a business, and saved up $40 million. $40 million, but forgot to write a will. He never wrote a will or anything. So his money went to the state. And people found out about this story, and people looked at this in such a horrific way. Jews, the person was Jewish. What is he, crazy? Person worked his whole life and everything, you know? And what it took to make it through the Holocaust, and what it took to survive, and not to even be able to decide how that money would be used in any, zero? That's success? That's striving? What? Person strove and strove, and then right at the finish line, he fell asleep. He forgot. And we know that this is one of the things that the Torah teaches a person. The Torah speaks about, we have a Shulchan Aruch that discusses financial matters, and it discusses a will. It discusses that the normal thing for a human being, for a good, nice Jewish person to do, is to think, to be conscious, that I don't have a past that says I'm here forever. And nobody knows if it's today or tomorrow or it's in 100 years. Nobody knows that. So don't be stupid. If Hashem blessed you with any possessions, with money, with a house, with this, that, and these things have value to them if they're used properly, if they're used for Hashem's honor, for Hashem's kavod, if it's not l'neged Hashem, then it's a major, major achievement. I'm not saying money that goes to a state or a city is also a form of charity. It is a form of charity. But we know that in the Shulchan Aruch, that's also a major discussion, that there's charity and there's charity. There's different levels in charity of what's more effective, just like investing in a company. You invest in this company, you get 3%. You invest in that company, you get 3,000%. Both investments, you fill out the same form, your name and address and social security, same piece of paper. This one, you could lose your pants or be earning 1.00001% dividend. And the other one, your money triples or quadruples or whatever. So it's the same thing? It's not the same thing. So Rav Nosson Zal says here, or Ma Yisroin Lotam B'Cholam Olam, sometimes you look and you say, what did a person accomplish with all of his efforts? If a person, chas v'sham lo aleinu, person killed himself to earn a living and he ignored his children, and his children grew up without a father, without a mother, whatever, and the children grow up to be bums, you know, who knows what, you know, derelicts or this, that. Person says, he succeeded? He built up a business? You call that success? Listen to these next words. V'im yamtzi eitzo niflo, and if a person will come up with a great idea, a great scheme as to how to make money, or how to achieve other pleasures of this world, you call that advice? You call that direction? You call that smart? That's called being smart? He was able to achieve the knowledge. He taught himself how to kill himself. Again, we have people who start off in life working an 8-hour day, and they come home, they have dinner with their wives and their kids, and they go out for a walk. They have a beautiful life. And then he makes a decision, this isn't good enough. He's going into business. And then he goes into business. And then it's no longer an 8-hour day, it's an 18-hour day, and there's travel and this, that, and he don't see his wife and she don't see him, and at one point she wakes up and she decides she needs a husband, not a dollar, not euros and dollars. So she goes looking somewhere else, and that's success. You call that success? You call that Eitzah Tova? The guy ends up being a slave to the business, Chas V'Shalom? So he discovered how to kill himself, and how to distance himself from eternal life. So that again, I'm in business. When he was a worker, he was able to go to shul in the morning because again, he didn't have to be at work till 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock. See, so went to. But in business, you can't do that. Everybody knows. If you want to succeed in business, you got to be there 6 o'clock to get a jump start on everybody, and you got to stay late. So there's no such thing as going to shul anymore or learning Torah. That kind of stuff is out the window. Ubevadai. Ein shum eitzo, nikro eitzo be'emes. So therefore, most definitely, no advice, no knowledge, no direction is called advice or knowledge or direction. Ki im kishezoichal yidei eitzo zois, lovoi lavoides Hashem. Unless it leads him in the direction of serving Hashem better, pleasing Hashem, improving his relationship with Hashem. Ki im kishezoichal yidei eitzo zois, lovoi lavoidas Hashem, oy ledvorim hanoigim lavoidosoy bemes. Whether it leads him to serving Hashem, or it leads him to things that will help him, that will improve his service of Hashem. V'alkein, and therefore, ikar ho'etzois, and therefore, in each and every generation, what we call advice, what we refer to as knowledge and wisdom and direction, is what the Jewish people are zeiche in each and every single generation to draw advice and clarity and seichel from the source of Seichel, from the Seichel HaKoilel, from the top. Eich lehiskarei ve'elov yisborach. How to come close to Hashem. Lodas ulahakiroi seisborach. How to achieve greater recognition, awareness, and knowledge of Hashem. Vezeo bechinas, I had the privilege last night of being at a Sheva Brachas for my son. And one of the people who was at the Sheva Brachas was talking, and he spoke about what's available today. They were talking about the fact that, again, that the Torah is becoming clearer and easier. Baruch Hashem was zoche to be living at a time the Torah was translated into English by professionals, people who are really good in being able to make it clear, even for laymen, people who didn't have a yeshiva background, people who weren't taught the basics and the formulas along the way. Person sits down with an art scroll Gemara today, and if he tries, if he puts in a reasonable effort, usually can get to an incredible level of clarity in understanding Hashem, in understanding the word of Hashem, the Torah of Hashem. So he was saying, so one person mentioned that, another person said, what are you talking about? That's ancient. I have the notebook version. I have the thing where you learn it. You don't take a book anymore with you. You take a thin computer screen that's the size of a page, and you touch it or you tell it, Eruvin, page 85, and the page comes up on the screen, and everything is color coded. The question of the Gemara is one color, the answer is a different color. So that struggle that many people have in learning Gemara, many times in the beginning, in figuring out, is this a continuation of the question, or is this the beginning of the answer, and where's this? And when the Gemara says, look it up over there, taking you all over the world, you need to have the whole Shas in front of you and picking out Gemaras, now you just touch it, and zap, it brings up the Gemara, it'll bring it right onto your screen, the Gemara in Ksubas and Adarim and the Mishnah in Taharis and their bit. This is a new generation of making Hashem more clear and more clear to people. Again, once upon a time, we know that in the 1700s, what happened to Klal Yisrael at that time is that there were 1% of the Jewish people who were in yeshivas, in higher schools of education, the elite, the other 99% were out of it, were not involved in Gemara, were not involved, didn't have it. And that was and many of them, unfortunately, because of that, became totally disconnected. And the Baal Shem Tov, the world of Hasidus, came to bring many of those people back, to tell those people that even if you can't learn Gemara right now, and even if you're still part of Hashem, Hashem has nach, you're making a bracha, you're looking where you're supposed to look, and not like every person can serve Hashem in 1,000 different ways. Yiddishkeit is so big and so broad. So now we're living in different times where Baruch Hashem, or I don't know, for all I know, the statistics today with the assimilation and everything could be the statistics have remained the same. It's still 1%. But now we're 13, 15, 17 million Jews. Today you probably have at least 2 million Jews in yeshivas, or certainly learning daf yomi or doing other things because it's been made available, because it's becoming clearer and clearer and clearer. Every generation is being given new tools and new tools to make it more accessible. And this also explains the incredible importance and obligation of leaving behind children in the world, bringing a new generation into the world. Ki kol echod mi Yisrael hu bechinas sechel proti v'yedia protis. Because each and every individual Jew represents an individual unit of sechel, yedia, bechinas eitzois chadoshois eich lahakirois yisborach. And each and every individual Jew represents a different, a new, different connection to Hashem. Ki ein shnei b'nei odom shoven kayadua. Because it's known in Sifrei Kabbalah and Sifrei Hasidus that no two Jews are alike. Despite popular opinion where they say they all have beards and they all wear glasses and they all, no two Jews are the same whatsoever. V'chein ein shnei doirois shavim, and no two generations are the same. No two generations of Yiddishkeit. U'me'oilam miyoyim broye l'kimodam al horetz ad soif. Adayin loy hoyu v'loy yihyu shnei b'nei adam shoven afilu b'shnei doiros. And Rabbi Nosson says, from the beginning of time till the end of time, you will never find two people who are identical, who are the same, not in one generation and not even in two different generations. Ki afilu mi shemegulgol minishmas chaveroi, because even if we want to speak about reincarnations, where Hashem brings a soul into the world, and then he brings it back again, and brings it back again. So some people are under the misconception that it's the same exact soul being brought back again. Not true. Gam kein einoi shova lechaveroi. No two gilgulim are the same. Kamoi sheshamati mipi Rabbeinu Zal, as I heard from Rabbeinu Zal, and as is pointed out in Sichoi Saran, chapter paragraph 54. Ki ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu oise shnei pa'amim dovor echod. Hashem never repeats himself. He never creates the same thing twice. And he never repeats the same thing twice. V'alkein lo'oilom ein nizgalgel b'chaveroi kol chelkei nishma sorishon mamish. And therefore, even if we speak about reincarnation, taking a soul that came down to earth 100 years ago, and Hashem is bringing it back down again 100 years later, it is not the exact same thing coming down. It's not with all of its parts. Rak nishmas zeh, betziruf nefesh acheres mimokom acher. But rather, sometimes Hashem will take a soul from here. There are different parts to the soul. There's the nefesh, the ruach, the neshama, the chaya. So sometimes Hashem will take a nefesh from here and a ruach from there. And so even when we talk about reincarnation, it's not the same thing being repeated again. It's part of something that was here before being brought back with various differences. Oy ruach seim nefesh se okyotze b'ze. Nimtza shehu inyan acher min orishoyim. So you see that this Gilgul is something different than the previous Gilgul. K'moy sheshamati kol ze mipiv HaKodesh. Rav Nosson Zal says, as I had this all explained to me, as I heard this clearly from Rabbeinu Zal. V'al kein, and therefore, kol neshama mi Yisrael, shebo boze hoilam, and therefore, every single Jewish soul that comes into the world, hi bechinas sechel chodosh ve'etzo chadosho lahasig ulahakir oisei sporach, represents a new understanding of Hashem, a new knowledge, a new direction, a new way of being able to connect with Hashem. Every single Jew has something that another Jew doesn't. Rabbi Nizal says in other places, otherwise Hashem wouldn't have created both of them. If you and him were the same, why did Hashem need both of you? The fact that there are two different people means that there are certain things that this person can do that that one can't, and vice versa. So that each one represents a unique, distinct Seichel Proti in Avodas Hashem. Ki kol ma shenisra ben Yisrael yoser, and therefore, the more Jews that are born, the more Jews that come into the world, nishlam beyoser kaviyochol tselem dmus tavnisoi. The puzzle of Hashem, kaviyochol, kaviyochol. If we would want to refer to Hashem as a puzzle of infinite pieces, every single Jew coming into the world is another piece of that puzzle being put into place to clarify the picture of the image of Hashem, Kaviyochol, the Tzelem Dmus Tavnisoi, Kimavur B'Mokam Acher, as we discuss in another place. The Tzelem Dmus Tavnisoi, Bechinas Tzelem Elikim, Hu Klolius Kol Hamoichin Kiyadua. And when we talk about the complete picture of Hashem, Kaviyochol, when we talk about the total picture of Hashem, we're talking about the Klolius Kol Hamoichin. We're talking about the full spectrum of knowledge, of intellect, of Seichel. Or Moichin, as it's referred to in the Sifrei Kabbalah. She'al Yodom Zoichin Leida Ulahasig Ulahakiroi Sisporach. Whereby through all of these individual pieces, we are Zoichin to get to know about and to realize and to achieve understanding of Hashem. The Pasuk, Rav Rosenfeld used to quote the Pasuk, it says about Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech was the wisest of all people. You know why? It says, Vatorev Chochmas Shlomoi, Mikol Hodom Asher Pnei Adamo. The wisdom of Shlomo HaMelech grew beyond all human beings on the earth. So one of the Meforshim says, Vatorev Chochmas Shlomoi. The Chochmah of Shlomo HaMelech was great. You know why? Mikol Hodom Asher Pnei Adamo, because he learned from every single person on the earth. We know that the Torah says, Mikol Malamda Yiskalti, a Jew is supposed to be learning something from everyone, from a thief, from a murderer. There are things to learn from him, to learn what not to do in certain cases. Or every single person has a unique, represents a unique seichel, whereby via contact with that person, I can achieve, if I do it properly, I can achieve a greater understanding of Hashem. Nimtza, we conclude therefore, Shekol ma shenoylad nefesh mi Yisrael biyoser, that the more Jews that are born, the more souls that come into the world, Nimshochin biyoser eitzois shleimois lehiskarev elav yisborach. There's more knowledge of Hashem, there's more guidance and clarity as to how to come close to Hashem. Sheze ikur bechinas eitzo shleimo kanal. And that's the real eitzo. That's what the real definition of eitzo is. It's all about recognition of Hashem and coming close to Hashem. Veze ikur goidel hamitzvah v'hachiyuv lehamit toilodos kanal. And this is the great significance of the mitzvah and the obligation for a Jew to want to produce children. And this is also the concept of sweetening the din, the tzimtzum. Ki hizgalus soeitzo, shenimshach al yidei nefesh mi Yisrael shimshach boilam, because the revelation of a new insight about Hashem, something new about Hashem, that every new child that comes into the world brings, every Jewish child has a moyach, has a brain, has seichel, and has something unique about it. So this the revelation of this eitzah, which comes into the world by each individual nefesh that comes into the world, hu bechinas hamtoka sadinim, is one of the things that results in sweetening judgments, in eliminating harsh judgments. Because we learned earlier that din, midas hadin, is the absence of seichel. Darkness, night, is din. That's the time midas hadin. Light, chochma seichel, is the elimination of din. We know on Rosh Hashanah and Kippur we wear a white kittel. The whiteness, the light, represents chesed, represents chochma, seichel, represents cleansing from sins. Sins are represented by redness or black, darkness, yeah, that concept of darkness. So the every time we introduce new seichel into the world, we're eliminating the midas hadin. Just to note, to verbalize it, the Shia today is dedicated to a refuah shelema, to all those that need it, especially Gittigenendel bas Sipoira, Tzviodel bas Gittigenendel, two family members that are going through major things now, that the Torah that we're learning should bring about a complete hamtoka sadinim for all of us, for Klal Yisrael, for the world, Mitz Hashem. Hold it over here. I needed it, but I...